Verse 13.
I may say a few things about the cup. The Lord has really showed us some things about the cup. We're doing the Psalms on Wednesday nights. We're going through them, and I said Psalm 17. I meant to say Psalm. And the week before last, it was just a beautiful time. And Psalm 16 is a life psalm. In other words, it's talking about overcoming the final enemy, which is death. It's talking about the body not decaying. It's talking about the flesh dwelling in safety. It's talking about divine healing and divine intervention. It's talking about living. And that's what that psalm's about. And David flows into that psalm. And in verse 5, he says, "The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup. Thou dost support my lot." Drop down to verse 7. "I will bless the Lord who has counseled me. Indeed, my mind instructs me," and that's really kidneys, it's the inner being. "My inner being instructs me in the night. I have set the Lord continually before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will dwell securely, for thou wilt not abandon my soul to Sheol or to hell. Neither wilt thou allow my Holy One to undergo decay. Thou wilt make known to me the path of life. In thy presence there is fullness of joy. In thy right hand there are pleasures forever." And we looked at this psalm week before last, and a lot of things that came out. One of the things was about the cup. We drink the cup and we don't understand the drinking of the cup. The cup is both judgment and blessing, and we read all the references and we saw that. Went over to the New Testament and we saw that the cup in the book of Matthew chapter 20, James and John comes to Jesus, and they want one on his right hand and one on his left, and Jesus says, "Can you drink of the cup that I'm going to drink?" And they say, "Yes, we can." And then Jesus said this, and this is what really got all my heart and mind today. He says, "You shall drink of my cup." Not they already had. He says, "You shall drink my cup." Now, the thing that I've just got in my heart today, and just saying about the cup, and then going on to what I feel like the Lord really wants to minister to us about blessing him, is there's a cup for each of us to drink. Jesus in Gethsemane says, "Let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." Then he goes on a few verses later. He says, "But if I have to drink this cup, I will." Just prior to that, in the upper room, in Luke chapter 20, and I think it's verse 22, Jesus is having communion, instituting the Lord's Supper. He says, "This is the cup of the new covenant." This is the cup of the new covenant. Now, just in relationship to the cup, real quickly, we have the cup, which is the Lord's covenant. We drink of this cup. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 talks about how that cup is a judgment to us. But if we'll judge ourselves, we'll not need to be judged. But the thing that I just hear in my heart right now is what he said to James and John, "You shall drink the cup." Do you understand that each of us have a cup to drink? We each have a cup. It's our portion in life. It's our lot, David said. It's our inheritance. It's what we're about. It's what we're drinking. And as I meditate about this cup, I find that I haven't drank it totally yet, but I'm sipping on it. I'm drinking on it. I'm working on it. I want to drink it. I want to drink. I want the Lord's lot for my life. And I believe that's what the cup's about. I don't ever want to stop drinking his cup. You shall drink the cup. And I just felt to just really share quickly about the drinking of the cup, just real briefly before I got into the blessing of the Lord. There's something about drinking the cup that the Lord is wanting to impart to us. And he wants us to know he has a cup for each one of us to drink. And if you'll walk with him, and if you stay steadfast to him, you like James and John, and me like James and John, you shall drink the cup. How many knows what happened to James and John? Any Bible scholars that remember what happened to James and John? Well, James ended up being stabbed with a sword by Herod. And John, after being boiled in oil, was put on the Isle of Patmos, where he received the revelation of Jesus Christ. That was their cup. Now, I pray that none of our cups are like that. But I just say that to let us know that if we continue with the Lord, it's not always fun. And to a pastor, when we're normally used to seeing a full place and you come in and we're not full, you get these funny feelings and these things going off inside of you. But then the Lord just really checked me and said, have I called you or have I not? Is your relationship with me dependent upon if this house is full or if this house is half full or if there's 10? See, if I'm truly called and I'm drinking my cup, it won't matter, will it? I can't be moved by what I see. I have to be moved by what the Lord has ministered to me. Then David says here in this psalm, in verse 7, I will bless the Lord. Would you say that back to me? I will bless the Lord. Now notice there that it's an act not of your desire sometime, it's an act of your will. You have to determine that you will bless the Lord. Now, we are so into in our society of being blessed. We're so into in our society of getting blessed. And we all like to be blessed, don't we? Anybody here doesn't like to be blessed? We all like being blessed. And so we're into the Lord blessing me. But that's not what this verse is saying, is it? What does it say? I will bless the Lord. It's not the Lord will bless me, but I will bless the Lord. So that's the emphasis that I want to put on. I don't think Christians understand that they are to bless the Lord. One of the purposes of our coming into Christianity, one of the purposes of our coming into the new covenant, is to come into a relationship where we can bless Father, where we can bless Jesus, where we can be a blessing to the Holy Spirit, where we can be a blessing to the Lord. David says, I will bless the Lord. It's an act of my will. Now, what I want to get into is how do we do this? It's more than saying I will bless the Lord. The Bible gives us plenty of scripture as to how we bless the Lord. And I want to look at those this morning. I want to look at a lot of scriptures. We're going to look at Psalms. We're going to look at a lot of verses in Psalms. But I just want to look at this thought of how do we bless the Lord. Now, all this thing, I just told you that Psalms 16 is a life psalm. He talks there about not decaying. He talks about the path of life. He talks about pleasures forever. He talks about fullness of joy in his presence. He talks about the Lord being continually before him. He talks about not being shaken. But all these things that he talks about here are preempted by I will bless the Lord. What I'm saying is that a lot of our walk with the Lord is determined on how we're blessing the Lord. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? A great deal of your not being shaken. Now, what do I mean? The psalm talks about not being shaken. Well, what shaken is the kingdom principle. It means that you're not up and down all the time. That situations and circumstances don't control how your relationship with Jesus Christ is. You're not easily shaken. Why are you not easily shaken? Because you've learned to bless the Lord in all situations, and you've keeping him continually before you. We all know and have experienced in our own lives where we get shaken, and our relationship with Christ is faltered, and it shakes a little bit. But if we'll learn what I'm trying to say today, and if we'll learn that we can bless the Lord, and by blessing the Lord we'll keep him continually before us, we'll understand the first principle that it's going to take to walk this walk and drink this cup. You've got to learn scripturally how to bless the Lord. Now, that's what I'm heading for. The word bless in itself means to bless God as an act of adoration. It's an act of adoration. It's the opposite of cursing God. Now, that's a strong thought there. If I'm not blessing God, what am I doing? Do what? If I'm not blessing God, and blessing God is the opposite of cursing God, what I'm wanting us to see is that we need to learn to make sure that we're blessing God. Blessing God is the opposite of cursing God. And in Funk and Wagnalls Dictionary, I looked it up just to see what further thoughts I could get on this word bless. It means to honor. It means to exalt. It means to glorify. It means to make happy. It means to cause to be happy. Blessing the Lord makes the Lord happy. Blessing the Lord, do you want to make the Lord happy? You do, don't you? We all do. All Christians want to make the Lord happy. You want to make your natural father happy. You want to make your spiritual father happy. And that's what we're talking about. So blessing the Lord is an act of our will toward the Lord in adoration. It's an opposition of cursing. It's showing the Lord honor, glory, which makes him happy. That's what blessing the Lord is. But it's more than my saying so. It comes into an act of what I do. Now look in Psalms 26 and verse 12. I want to look through some Psalms and just see scripturally and biblically how we bless the Lord. And see if we do it. Now, please look at this in further view than what Scripture says. Look at this in tune. Do I do this? Do I bless the Lord? Do I have a lifestyle that blesses my Lord? Psalms 26 and verse 12. My foot stands in a level place. In the congregations I shall what? Bless the Lord. Where? In the congregations. Now notice that congregations is also plural. Notice that, first of all, in the congregation I shall bless the Lord. Now, a lot of people want to bless the Lord only in their homes, only in their private times, in their car, whatever. But where does the scripturally and biblically tell us to bless the Lord? In the congregations. Several of us got together this morning, and if I didn't get in touch with you, I'm sorry. I just didn't. But they had called us and asked us to come to the First Methodist Church, and they're having a men's breakfast and wanted us to come and meet their new pastor. So I got on the phone last night and called several of the men, and there were several of us that went down and met their new pastor. And we were in their congregation. Now, when I go into their congregation, when I go into a different setting, according to the Scripture, how do I respond? Do I still want to bless the Lord? If I go to the First Baptist, or if I go to Peavine Baptist, wherever that I go is what I'm trying to show us here. Congregations, we need to learn to be a blessing. In our workplace, that can become a congregation, and we need to become a blessing. We need to be a blessing to the Lord. It's plural. I want us to see this. First of all, it's an act of our will. Secondly of all, you don't only do it at home. You do it in the congregations. Now, look at Psalms 34 and 1. Is it all right if we bless the Lord when we come to the congregational meetings? Okay? And then he says, I will bless the Lord when? At all times. His praise, how do I bless the Lord? His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul, my mind, my emotions, my intellect shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I want us to see that blessing the Lord is not just a personal thing that we do. It's something that we do together. It's something that not only do we do together, but it's a contagious thing. Because when humble people, when people get around you that are meek and quiet, when they see you rejoicing and they see you blessing the Lord, what does the Bible say they'll do? Rejoice. It's contagious. If you went to a church and everybody kept their hands in their pockets and their feet on the ground, what would you do? Keep your hands in your pockets and your feet on the ground, right? But you go to a church that doesn't do that, and they lift their hands, and they clap their hands, and they dance. So what do you do? But you didn't do it until you got contaminated with it, did you? Didn't you have to get around somebody that contaminated you with praise and worship and blessing the Lord? And so that's what I'm wanting us to see here. It's something that we do together. Now, yeah, blessing the Lord is wonderful and fine, and I'm not taking away your home times. But what I'm wanting us to see is, folks, is scripturally, we come to the congregational meetings, and we come here to bless the Lord. And we come here to be a blessing to Him, not just Him to us. I promise you, He'll meet us. He'll meet our need, but He wants a blessing too. And I love to bless the Lord. And it's scriptural to make a noise to Him. It says, bless the Lord how? Out of my mouth. And we're going to see some other ways that we're going to be blessing the Lord. But here I want us to get the thought that we're doing it together. It's a together. It's a family type of a function. It's something that we do together. Okay, that's Psalms 34:1. Let's move on to Psalm 63:4. Now these are biblical ways of blessing the Lord. This isn't some teaching out of a book. This is biblical, scriptural ways that we bless Him. Psalm 63:4. Let's start with 1 and just read on down through 4. O God, Thou art my God. I shall seek Thee earnestly. My soul thirsts for Thee. My flesh yearns for Thee. In a dry and weary land where there is no water, thus I have beheld Thee in the sanctuary, to see Thy power and Thy glory, because Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips will praise Thee. So I will bless Thee. How long? As long as I live. What do I want from that? I want us to understand that blessing the Lord is a lifestyle. Blessing the Lord isn't something that we come here on Sunday mornings to do and then we walk the rest of the week and never do it again. It's a lifestyle. Blessing the Lord is something that we continually do all the days of our life, wherever that we're at. It's a lifestyle. It's something that's in me. It's hard for me to get around people for any length of time and not talk about the things of the Lord. I love to talk about the things of the Lord. I love to praise the Lord. I love to bless Him. Things come out of my mouth. It's just a lifestyle. I'm in the shower. I'm singing our courses. I'm in my car. I'm listening to praise tapes. There's just something that's in my life now that loves to bless the Lord. It's my lifestyle. He says, I'll do it as long as I live. Then He says what? I will do what? Read that to me. Lift up my hands in Thy name. Now, it's more than just lifting your hands. Who is the covenantal name? Jesus. You're lifting your hands in the name of Jesus. Is that blessing the Lord? You see this? It's not just lifting your hands because somebody says, lift your hands. You're lifting your hands in Thy name. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I bless You. I submit to You. I love You, Lord. I bless You. Is it scriptural to lift your hands? Yes, it is. And it breaks my heart. It just breaks my heart to go to congregations and meeting places where there is no blessing of Him. They come and they want to be blessed. They come for moral reasons and they want a blessing from God, but they never bless Him. When we come here to praise and worship, folks, it's not to make you feel good. It's to bless Jesus. It's to bless His name. It's covenantally to come together. In all the days of my life, let my lifestyle be a blessing to Him. I will bless Thee as long as I live. I will lift my hands in Thy name. My soul is satisfied as with the marrow and fatness. That means with good things. And my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. It's a blessing of Him. It's a lifestyle. That was Psalm 63. Let's look at 68:24. Is blessing the Lord scriptural? Okay. It goes beyond just Him blessing us. What praise is blessing God. He'll minister to us. That's covenant. He's covenantally bound to minister to us. But there comes a time when we come together in praise services and worship services that it transcends anything that we feel. We can't come in here with our feelings on our shoulders and saying, I want everybody to know that I'm mad. I'm not going to do it today. It transcends that. It's the act of our will. It doesn't have anything to do with emotions. We're going to read a psalm in just a second that says, oh my soul. In other words, you're talking to yourself. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. It's getting beyond how we feel. Now, I'm a kind of a person, and this is something that's about me, and when I get upset with people, I want them to know that I'm upset and mad with them. Now, I know none of you are like that. I know nobody's here. But there are some other people in other places that do that. I don't want to say anything to them. I just want them to know. So I don't want to say anything mean to anybody. I don't want anybody mad at me, but I want them to know that I didn't like what they did. And that hinders my praise. I now stand there. And that person is interfering with my blessing the Lord. Do you see what I'm trying? I'm allowing my dumb emotions and my dumb will to interfere with my blessing of Him who wants to bless me. Where am I at? Psalm 68. Psalm 68, verse 24. What this psalm is about is preparing a place for the Lord to come. And beginning with verse 24, they have seen thy procession, O God. Now, King James Bible says thy goings. But the word there means a procession. I think I've got what the word means. It means walking. It means a procession. It means a march. It means a caravan. We've seen your caravan, Lord. We've seen your marching. This is what we're saying here. It's a procession. They have seen thy procession, O God, the procession of my God, my King, into the what? The sanctuary. Is that what we want here? Don't we want to see Him come in here? I don't want to get up at 5 and 6 o'clock on Sunday morning and come down and pray and seek the Lord and try to get a message for the sake of having a message. When I come here, I want the Lord to come here. I want Him to proceed on in here. And that's what we're talking about here. And this is how that place is prepared. This is how that sanctuary is prepared for his presence. Verse 25. The singers, do you need singers? The singers went on. Do we need singers to bring in the presence or His procession? Do we do that? Do we have singers? Okay. What about the musicians? Do you need musicians to... Now, as far as this verse goes, now it doesn't mean this is the only way you can get the Lord's presence. So that's not what I'm saying here either. You understand that? You know, I don't expect you to have an orchestra and singers and all this at your house. What I'm trying to show us here is that this is a sanctuary. We're trying to bring Him into the sanctuary. This is the way the Scriptures biblically tell us to bring the presence of the Lord into a sanctuary. The singers and then the musicians after them, and in the midst of the maidens beating tambourines. Now, King James says dancing, I believe, doesn't it? Not sure. But anyway, it takes maidens dancing amongst, it pictures the maidens dancing with tambourines. Is it scriptural to have maidens dancing with tambourines? It's a part of the procession. It's a part of having Him come into the sanctuary. In the midst of the maidens beating tambourines, and then it says, bless God in the congregation, even the Lord, you who are of the fountain of Israel. You who are those who have in your bellies rivers of living water. A fountain, the Spirit. Bless the Lord. And so this is preparing a place for the Lord to come and receive a blessing from us. Read it again. The singers went on, the musicians after them, in the midst of the maidens beating tambourines, not tambourines beating the maidens, in the midst of the maidens beating tambourines, bless God in the congregations. Again, congregations. We shouldn't be the only congregation doing this. All right. Psalms 96, verse 1 and 2.
Sing to the Lord, what kind of a song? A new song. What is a new song? Just give me a simple guess, not a trick question. What is a new song? Song that's never been sung before. Sing to the Lord a new song. Now, we have times when our praise service goes in the direction where we are led into singing a new song. They're playing music, and there's no real leading as far as any particular song goes. It's a new song time. It's time to sing to the Lord a new song. Now, this blesses Him. This is a blessing to the Lord when we sing to the Lord a new song. My battery's giving out, Doug. That's okay. It's all right. All right? I want to go on with this one. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord and what? Bless His name. Proclaim good tidings of His salvation from day to day. Is singing to the Lord a new song a blessing? Okay.
Now, just how many of you have ever done this? I don't want a hand show. I just want to encourage you. How many of you have ever blessed the Lord by singing to Him a new song? Isn't this something that we need to step into? When we move into this, I hear some around me doing this, singing to the Lord. You can sing in your spirit if you don't know what to sing, but the Lord is interested in being blessed, and that's what I'm trying to communicate to us today, and that we need to scripturally bless the Lord. And this is one of the ways. Psalms 100, verse 1 through 4. And I know I'm just showing you a lot of scriptures. That's all I felt to do today. This is just it. This is something that most of you already know, but it's just something that I sensed to do today, sensed to do this morning. Psalm 100, verse 1. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Is it okay to shout? Is it okay, isn't it? Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord Himself is God. It is He who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Now here we go. Enter His gates how? With thanksgiving. And His courts how? With praise. Give what to Him? Thanks to Him. And what? Bless His name. All those are ways that we bless the Lord. We can shout to the Lord. It's a blessing to Him to shout like that. Do you think that He was blessed when Joshua was obedient and shouted at the walls of Jericho? Did that bless the Lord? Yep. Okay. And you've got walls and I've got walls that need to be shouted at. There's a time for shouting. And you can come into His gates. And Christians, sometimes, I mean, really, we're the worst ones, and we talked about this when we've done this psalm, that in His presence there is fullness of joy. But I see Christians, for the most part, that are sad and beaten down, and rather than being overcomers, they have been overcome. But this psalm that we read, Psalm 16, says that in Thy presence is fullness of joy. So if I'm not having joy, then am I in His presence? You see that? If I'm not having a joyful time and a joyful life, then I'm not in His presence, because in His presence there's fullness of joy. And we talked about a whole lot of things. The king, in biblical times and even now, kings didn't want people coming before them with sad things. They didn't like bad news. And they liked to be kept joyful. And they hired people to keep the king and the queen happy. And these people are called jokers. Ever played cards? You've played cards, haven't you? You got a king and a queen and a joker. And what this joker did, he joked and made funnies and kept the king and the queen happy. The king doesn't like sadness. And we've got a king, and His name is Jesus. And I have a sense and a feeling inside of me that He doesn't like us coming to Him all the time crying and bawling. I think there's times He wants us to come before Him with singing and thanksgiving. Enter His courts with what? Enter His gates with thanksgiving. He wants us to come happy. In His presence is fullness of joy. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm saying that you can't come before the Lord with your problems. But I am saying that Christians don't need to be sad all the time. We need to be joyful people, happy people. He says, enter His gates with thanksgiving, enter His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. Giving thanks is simply having a spirit of thankfulness. If you're saved, should you be thankful? If you're redeemed and your life is changing, should you be thankful? If your children are saved, should you be thankful? You see what I'm saying? There's so much that so many good things that we need to be thankful about. And when we come to the congregation to bless the Lord, we need to be thankful. We need to have left our feelings at home. And it's hard to do. And I've had to, you know, we've all come here sometimes when we were mad at someone or somebody or we were upset about something. But that, I want us to try to grasp today that all that does is interfere with our blessing of the Lord. Is that correct? He wants to be blessed, and He's got a people that are supposed to bless Him. That's one of our purposes. Psalms 103. Just looking at blessing the Lord. Now, here we go. Bless the Lord, O my soul. What is the soul? Okay, you're a tripartite being. You have a spirit. You are a spirit. You have a soul, and you live in a body. Your spirit is the part of you that initially is redeemed. Then it begins to minister to your soul. There's warfare. There's flesh. And the spirit are contrary to one another. Your soul realm then comes into your flesh realm. It's your mind. It's your emotions. It's your attitude towards situations and circumstances. It's your flesh realm. David says here, bless the Lord, not my spirit, but my what? Soul. And you have to make your flesh realm bless the Lord. You have to talk to it. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Have you ever, Monty, have you felt like blessing the Lord here lately? I mean, I'm not talking about just the last couple of weeks, but has there been any time in your life that you didn't really feel like blessing the Lord? Yeah. Anybody what about you, Willis? Any time you ever come in here and just didn't want to bless the Lord? I want him to know I'm mad. I want him to know I'm hurt. I want him to know that I'm upset. And I'm not going to do it. And we've every one of us have experienced that. That's when this psalm must come into our lives, and we must understand when we come into this place, we enter His courts with thanksgiving, we enter His gates with thanksgiving, we enter His courts with praise, and we talk to our souls, and we say, oh, bless the Lord, my soul. You get your act together. This is time to come together with the congregation so that we can bless my Savior, my Redeemer, my Covenant King. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and how much? All that is within me. Bless His holy name. Why? Why? Number one, verse 3 tells us, He has pardoned your iniquities. Should that be something that we need to learn to bless the Lord about? Number two, He heals your diseases. How many has ever, if you think God's healed you, don't raise your hand. But if you know, and you could give testimony that Jesus Christ has touched your body at one time in your life and healed you, raise your hand. Look at that. I was sick, and it hasn't been a whole long time ago. Several months, I was really bad. There's that virus and that flu was going around, and it was one of the Wednesdays or the Friday mornings, and we were here. And we were in there, and we'd been sitting, and I was really feeling rough. Fever and nausea and everything else that goes with that stuff. And Pastor Thibault got ready to leave, and before he left, though, he just walked over to me and laid hands on me and started praying. And he said, Lord, He said that anything that we'd ask in Your name, You do it. And I just ask You right now to heal Pastor. I just ask You in Your name to do it. And we agreeing, and they all reached out and touched me. And in 30 minutes, I was over that stuff. I mean, it just didn't bother me anymore. That's been the most recent. But that was just an instantaneous type of a thing that within 30 minutes, I was fine. I had no more fever, no more nausea, no more anything else that went along with that. There are healings, folks. I'm telling you, they're healing. He heals all our diseases. He can do it. The third thing, he redeems your life from the pit. Is that a good reason to bless the Lord? Amen. Jim Kittle, you were in a pit, weren't you, before you were redeemed? He knew he was in a pit. He shared some things with me, his daddy and his granddaddy. There was a pit, and he had inherited a pit. And he's redeemed from that pit. Man, that's something to bless the Lord for. There's things that all of our lives were in a pit. There's areas of our lives that when God found us, we were someplace that we shouldn't have been. And He has redeemed us from that pit. Okay? Fourth thing he does, he crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. We love his loving kindness, we love his mercy, we love his compassion, and that's a good reason to bless him. Number five, he satisfies your years with good things. Is that a good thing to bless the Lord for? So that your worth is renewed like an eagle, let your youth. And we talked about that before, about the eagle being renewed. So we bless the Lord, O my soul. We come in here and we command our soul to bless the Lord. This isn't something that you always feel like doing. But it is scriptural that you come in here, and the reason that you come here is to bless the Lord. The reason we come to the sanctuary is to bless the Lord. I'm in Psalms 103, 115. We're getting close to the end. I know it's a lot of scripture. This is just what I sense to do this day. So if you're not having fun, you know, I'm sorry, but 115, 17, and 18. We'll start at 16. I think that's probably your paragraph break. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to who? What's your inheritance, heaven or earth? Then why do we want to leave it? You know, this is our inheritance. Verse 17, the dead did not praise the Lord. Do they? The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence or to the grave. But as for us, now this is in contrast with the dead, so we're talking about the living. But as for the living, we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forever. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you alive? David says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. If we're alive, we need to praise the Lord. And so the question comes then, is this a dead church or a live church? You see? And it comes to finally down to its praise. If it's an alive church, it will have scriptural and biblical praise. If it's a dead church, the dead doesn't praise the Lord. I want to be in a church that praises the Lord. Psalms 134. All this about blessing the Lord. We're just blessing the Lord this morning. 134, 1 and 2. Behold, bless the Lord. Who? All the servants of the Lord who serve by day, who serve by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. First thought that I want to share here is that servants bless the Lord. If you're a servant, you'll bless him. Servanthood is a blessing for somebody. Whoever that you're serving, you are a blessing to that person. I want to be a blessing to the Lord. Therefore, I'll be a servant to the Lord. Bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. We're ministering here in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary. Where? In or to the sanctuary. Now, you have to understand the Hebrew thought here is that, remember in the book of Daniel, that Daniel would open his window three times a day and would pray toward Jerusalem. So he's looking toward the sanctuary. That was where to them God dwelt. God was in the sanctuary. So it's in or to the sanctuary. Lift up your hands to the sanctuary and bless the Lord. Now, again, the principle is that lifting of the hands is a tremendous way of blessing the Lord. And if you've never blessed the Lord before you come to this church with the lifting of your hands, it took you a while to do it, didn't it? Did it, Steve? Did it get you a little while before you could? But again, it's contagious, and it's a blessing. It's a blessing to you once you finally do it. You want to. You know that you should. There's something inside of you that's encouraging you to lift your hands and bless the Lord. And when you finally do, you have really accomplished something. You've really progressed. And it's such a blessing to him. Lift up your hands and bless the Lord. Psalms 145, 10, just about done now. All thy works shall give thanks to thee, O Lord, and thy godly ones shall bless thee. And thy godly ones shall bless thee. There's avenues and aspects of each of us that are godly. That part of you wants to bless the Lord. David danced before the Lord with all of his might. David was a man after God's own heart. David's whole life, it was a lifestyle of blessing God. That's what I want. There's enough God in me that wants to bless him. And my godly ones shall bless me, is what the Lord is saying. Thy godly ones. Don't turn to it. It would take a few seconds. But anyway, in the book of James, James chapter 3, we enter into a discussion there about the tongue. And James is showing the contrast of the tongue. But the truth there that I just want to bring, he says, with the tongue, we bless our Lord and Father. We have a tongue. We need to bless him, don't we? We need to bless our Lord. So, all I wanted to do today was just bring biblical reasons and biblical proof that we need to bless the Lord. I don't believe this is a thing that any of you didn't know, or any of you really cared a whole bunch about taking this much time and looking at. But scripturally, we need to bless him. It's not just that we come here to be blessed. He wants us to bless him. Blessing, then, means to adore the Lord. Do you adore him? Man, you show this in blessing him. It's the opposite of cursing him. It means to honor. It means to exalt. It means to glorify him. It means to make him happy. I want to make him happy. I want to make him happy. And blessing the Lord just makes him happy. Now, what we're going to do,